Benny Hinn's favorite radio personality, broadcasting legend, Drew Marshall.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like grief in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, baby,
everybody sing it together now.
Drew's lost that love and feeling.
Everybody.
Oh, that love and feeling.
Everybody.
Drew's lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone.
Was this from? Was this in Top Gun?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Was it in Top Gun? Yeah. Focus.
I'm enjoying a good piece of music. Yeah, and Tom Cruise goes completely out of tune.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're
you
singing.
You never
at the
close your eyes. Yeah, it's just it's pretty
Can
nasty.
You maybe do that louder into the microphone next
you
time.
You never close your eyes.
That's just creepy. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. That's Tim the Tool, and my name is Drew Marshall. Oddly enough, Tyler Beddoes, he's the author of Proof of Angels, the definitive book on the reality of angels and the surprising role they play in each of our lives. In March 2015, millions worldwide were captivated by news reports of the dramatic rescue of an 18-month-old girl who somehow survived 14 hours in an overturned car, partially submerged in an icy cold Utah river after her mother apparently lost control of the vehicle. A voice that the four responding officers assumed was the child's mother, still trapped inside, spurred them on, saying, "Help me, help me." Yet once the two victims were recovered, it was clear that the voice could not have come from Lily's mother, as she had been killed on impact. New York Times bestselling author Ptolemy Tompkins, with the help of Tyler Beddoes, one of the responding officers who helped rescue Lily, shares the details of this modern-day miracle, and then they explore the evidence for the existence of angels in our world. On the phone with us, Tyler Beddoes.
How are you, Drew?
I'm well, thank you. One of the responding officers is someone who has grown up in the funeral service industry myself and have gone out to many coroner's calls. I've not experienced something as eerie as you have. So can you just run through the details with us one more time? I'm sure that you're probably tired of doing this, but you wrote a book about it, so let's do it.
No, I am great. I'm excited to be on your show. So, yeah, it was a tough, it's been hard. I mean, I've finally been able to process it, but it was a Saturday morning in Spanish Fork, Utah, which is a fairly small town, but we got a call of a car that's upside down in the Spanish Fork River. We didn't know at the time what occurred, who was inside or anything until we were about there, and someone said that there was an arm, that was coming out the driver's side window. And it was really then that it kind of amped up, our response to get there and try to determine what was happened. It was kind of at that point, we got to the river, there were four of us, we got down into the water. It's really about that point that we heard a woman's voice, it was a calming voice, saying, "Help me, help me." And so we knew at that point, someone's alive in this car. We've got to get them out before, they drowned or whatever it may be. And so we couldn't get in due to the crushing effect that it had when the car had wrecked. And so we were able to push the car onto its side. When we did that, that's when we discovered that there was one adult female driver, and she had been deceased for some time, hours, based on her condition. And so that was really a heartbreak for us to discover her. And then a couple minutes later, we were able to look in the back seat, and that's where we see baby Lily actually submerged in water at that point. And that's when we were able to cut her out, and that's kind of the story of that.
All right. Considering that you and Ptolemy Tompkins... by the way, I'm assuming the P is silent.
It is. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Ptolemy Tompkins, I'm assuming that, because you guys have written this book called The Definitive Book on the Reality of Angels, I'm sure you must have had some pushback, right? There must be skeptics all over you guys. Yes?
Absolutely. It was tough, Drew. I mean, because you have people, I mean, not only doubting me, but it's tough when you're putting a book out there, you know, the definitive book on angels. Definitely had some of that, some negative kickback for sure.
And prior to this, so let me just ask you your background. I mean, because you mentioned Utah, do I assume that you're a Mormon or no?
I am a Mormon, yep. Okay. I grew up, I wasn't terribly active in the church, but I am a Mormon, yeah.
And do you think that your Mormon background, your Mormonism, that the tribal conditioning that you've received as a Mormon would make you think that angels are real? Like, if you weren't a Mormon, do you think you'd have a harder time believing in angels?
You know, I may be up to the river. I was in such a dark spot based on some calls that I'd had, and I started really doubting God. And I was in a tough spot.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean a dark spot because of the calls? You had some rough police calls, and it put you in a funk?
Yeah, so what happened a couple years before that, and it's in the book as well, but basically the negativity of police in America, and then also I had some calls with a quadruple homicide where dad had murdered his children and his wife, and I had a couple calls similar to that, and so I started really doubt, like, why does this happen? How does God let this happen? I had young kids at the time, and so I really, my faith had just completely dwindled. Like, I was barely hanging on, you know, from not believing. And I've always believed in angels until, like I say, up to kind of that point where I started to doubt my faith. And then it was the river, the feelings we got, the voice we heard, that's when I really, I took a step back and realized that, hey, this, why was I doubting this? It's 100% true.
Tyler, I think one of the reasons that people believe in angels, you know, most of Americans believe in angels, most people around the world don't have a problem talking about angels, is because we see angels as helpers. We don't see them as enemies. And yet, you know, there are almost every religious book, especially in the monotheistic belief systems, talk about evil angels. So if there are such a thing as angels, then according to various sacred scriptures, there are evil angels. And so how come we just, how come we just think about the positive, ooey-gooey, St. Valentine's Day angel kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's something that Ptolemy, my co-writer, he's incredible, very intelligent man. It's great to work with him. And he really, there's a chapter in the book called Devils or Demons or something where we actually talk about, we talked about a lot of positive angel stories and my story, but really wanted to share that there are some, you know, demonic-type angels as well. Yeah. So that's covered in the book as well.
Well, I'm sure one of the evil angels is certainly not the one named James Taylor. As soon as I saw that you had a chapter entitled An Angel Named James Taylor, I said, these are my kind of guys. Anybody that is a fan of James Taylor, I am all about this. So can you pull apart that chapter for us, please?
You know, what's funny is I didn't really think, I'm a James Taylor fan myself, but I didn't really think of, that's a story that goes back to kind of my childhood, that my grandmother, which would be my uncle, her son died of cancer at 19 years old. My grandma was with, she's active in the church, and her and my grandpa were with my uncle as he died, you know, in their house. And prior to him dying, he looked up in the corner of the room and said, hey, Grandma, there's an angel here to get me, to take me to the other side. And she, you know, was freaked out and finally held on to him, and he said, can I go? An angel named James Taylor's here to get me. Can I go? And my grandma said, if that's what you want to do. And she kissed his forehead, and just like that, he was gone. And he passed away in her arms right there. So that's what that chapter's about. But as far as, it's pretty interesting.
Man. Well, I wonder if James will pick up a copy of this book and read it. You might get a phone call from
James.
Hey,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about proof, all right? I have recently come out of a world of certainty, probably because I'm now entering my 50th year, and now I'm so uncertain about so many things. And when people say, you know, that we can prove that God exists, I don't know. When people say I can prove that angels are real, I don't know. I mean, I'm someone that desperately is hoping that there is a supernatural realm, that there is a good, all-loving, all-knowing creator, and that there is some purpose and meaning to life, and that something other than us is in control. I really hope that. But at the same time, when we say, yeah, angels are real, I can prove it. I mean, how do you do that? You know, Tyler, how do you prove that angels are real?
That was what was so tough when we were doing this book and working with Ptolemy about, in fact, Ptolemy mentioned that to me, is when you put proof of angels on the front of the book, that is tough. And we knew that was going to get, you know, some different reactions. But for me, like I said, I was in such a dark spot, like I told you, coming to that point, that as a police officer for 10 years, you see a lot of the bad. You see mostly bad, actually. And so for me, it's not like I'm naive to the world of things. And so when I got to that river and heard what I heard, felt what I felt, the calming effects from then and till after, and then realizing that there's no other explanation for it. There's no one else there. It was an adult female voice. The baby, Lily, she was unconscious, couldn't have said an adult woman's voice anyway, and the mom had been dead for 14 hours. So it was really that point that...
So the four, there was four officers that heard this voice, or was it just... who all heard this voice?
All four officers that were there. In fact, if you watch the body cam video of the rescue, we answer the voice. I mean, you can hear the voice partially, that it's a little like muffled, but you can hear something on the recording, and we answer saying, "We're helping, we're coming." So that was such a real downer. But when I go back to how I felt, and the feelings, I can't describe in words the feelings I felt, but a calming feeling and a calming voice. And so it was then that's like, I can't, you know, dissect scientific, you know, I'm not going to sit and try to, you know, do that because I'm not intelligent enough, but I know just personally that there was proof that day that there was an angel with Lily that stayed with her.
Of course, people are, and now let's just get the timeline of this down again. People are going to say, well, it was the mother and she died by the time you got in there. But are you saying the coroner would have confirmed that the mother had been dead for quite a while?
Exactly. That's what some of the things, and it will talk about that too in the book. But yeah, a lot of things were, people said that, oh, it was the mom asked for help and then she died before you got her out. Well, she was, I mean, I don't know how to put it because we're on radio, but I mean, her head was completely, you know what I mean? It wasn't there, and she had impact. It was the color of her body, lividity, and things. She had been there for a long, long time.
Yes. I would be able to make that assessment myself.
Probably. Yes.
Well, I love challenging books like this, and I think that the, you know, I don't know, I kind of divide up the angel crowd into a few categories, right? There's the people that buy angel trinkets, and their house is covered with angel stuff, and they have angel they treat angels like frosted Lucky Charms.
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know. I mean, that's nice and fluffy and Hallmarky or whatever, but I ain't wired like that. And then there's the other side, where the skeptics and the anti-theists and those that don't believe in any kind of supernatural thing. And I'm not sure I'm quite there. And then there's the rest of us in the middle, kind of not knowing where to go or what to believe. And so I think a book like this brings in, you know, some more information for us to process in a healthy way. Of course, Ptolemy Tompkins is known as the dude behind Proof of Heaven as well. So, you know, it's certainly provocative titles, because when you're talking about proving the supernatural, it's a lightning rod, right? Now, Tim, have you ever, this is my engineer here across the mic here, Tim, have you ever had any encounters with angels, do you think?
No.
Because you've been in the God scene a long time, man.
Yeah, well,
and if anybody should have angel experience, other than your wife.
Well, maybe when I met my wife, that was the angel.
Yeah.
No, I haven't had any angel experience. I've had a God experience or two, but I've never had an angel experience per se.
See, the people that wouldn't have a God experience but have angel experience, they would feel ripped off because you got a God experience.
Well, I mean, could have been an angel. I don't know. But my sense was I was having a conversation with God, and I got a very specific response.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Can I date this girl?
My only experience, Tyler, that I can even kind of put in this category was one time at Band Camp. I was hanging out at a Christian camp. It was in the wintertime. I was living in one of the cabins because I'd been kicked out of home. And there was a storm, wicked storm, and this guy showed up on the property down a long driveway up to this ranch, up to the dining hall, and showed up out of nowhere, and he was hitchhiking on the highway, and he said, look, this storm is just brutal. Do you mind if I just maybe stay here for the night? And yeah, sure, you can stay here, and you can stay in this cabin over here, and we'll feed you a little of this. Great. Okay, next morning, he's supposed to come up for breakfast. We're all waiting for him. He doesn't come. So we thought, oh, maybe he's sleeping in, or maybe he's going to miss it, or whatever. So I go down to wake him up, get him out of the cabin, and there's no trace of him. You know when someone stays especially a guy, right?
We're pigs.
And there's no evidence that this dude has stayed in this cabin at all, and there's no footprints in the snow leaving or going in. Nothing.
Wow.
It's the only thing I got to say, ooh, maybe we entertained an angel, because there's a verse in the Bible that talks about the fact that we might entertain angels throughout our lives. Right. Man.
Did he have, like, an angelic name?
Yes.
Like Tal?
Travolta.
Oh.
He smelled like vanilla, like cookies. Well, listen, dude, I are you, you're still on the force, right?
Yeah, but I'm here. Yep, still on the force, and yeah.
Do you think that you know that maybe you know, as we think through this, that if there is a creator, if there is a God, that He knew that this darkness was wrecking you, and He just gave you a little magic fairy dust there, or whatever, get him to hear this voice, and maybe God was intervening in your life to help you crawl out of the darkness?
I really believe that. I believe in divine intervention in my religion and things, and I believe I was such at, like I told you, at my breaking point that I feel like, yeah, we saved baby Lily, but in reality, this voice, she saved me, you know, I mean, as far as my religion and things, and so I definitely believe in that.
Well, again, the book is called Proof of Angels, the definitive book on the reality of angels and the surprising role they play in each of our lives. We've been chatting with Tyler Beddoes, who's, I guess, co-author of this book, along with Ptolemy Tompkins, who's author of the best-selling Proof of Heaven. Collaborator, I guess, is probably a good word. Although in your business, you don't want to use the word collaborator very much. Tyler, thank you for your time. When's your next shift?
You know, I'm off a couple weeks. I'm heading to New York City tomorrow. Doing some shows and things, and so I'm pretty busy the next couple weeks.
Listen to you, big rock star. But the boys in the force are probably taking the mickey out of you, eh? Having a good tease?
Yeah, it's been interesting for sure, but we're excited. The book comes out Tuesday in USA and up there in Canada, so it's going to be busy, but we're excited.
Good stuff. Tyler Beddoes, appreciate your time, man. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, Drew.
Bye-bye.
When you give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know. Isn't it amazing a man like me can feel this way? Tell me how much longer it will grow stronger every day. Oh, how much longer? I thought I was in love a couple of times before with the girl next door, but that was long before.